This is an Inside Slant Football podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant podcast. This is Randy Withers from JayhawkSlant.com. Thanks to everybody for listening. I know we've been doing this thing for a while, but I can officially say this is our first ever podcast coming off a KU football road win. I'm going to welcome in our publisher and football editor, John Kirby, to talk about last week's win, the Rutgers game, and what we're going to hear from Rutgers coach Chris Ash in exclusive audio talking about KU, as well as hear from David Beatty and Ryan Schneiderite, who covers the Rutger beat for Rivals. Kirby, how you doing today, man?
Good, Randy. How you doing?
Good. Busy. It is a busy time of year, and you know, maybe the most important thing I had to take care of this week was ordering my new Todd Reesing t-shirt yesterday.
That's right. The Shurzies?
Yes, the Shurzy. The Todd God Shurzy. As soon as I saw that on the bookstore website, I had to have that.
Todd Reesing might be the only player in KU football recent memory who could have a t-shirt made with his name on it and people ask $28 for it.
and get $28 for it, at least from me.
That's right. Well, hey, listen, we got a good one tomorrow, I think. You know, it's supposed to be 88 and sunny, early kickoff. So, man, it's what a great morning for college football. So hopefully those Kansas fans get out there and support that team.
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a beautiful day, chance to get out, have a breakfast tailgate, and see maybe see the Hawks get on a winning streak here. You know, last week was a banner win for the program, going on the road and winning, not just winning, but winning convincingly against Central Michigan. What were your thoughts on that and what this win means at this point?
Well, it was so big, you know, just to see the kids celebrate and have a good time. And even more than that, when I was on Twitter and text messages I was getting from people who are KU donors and looking at the message board and seeing the fans' response, I think that meant a lot to everybody just to see that 9-year losing streak finally come to an end. I mean, it's just like the monkey off the back. And, you know, obviously you got to put that behind you and look forward now, but what stood out to me was the turnovers. You know, they plus six in the turnovers, and really they turned Central Michigan into a passing team, which Central Michigan is not that. If you watch their clips from what they did against Kentucky, they run a lot of the same offensive concepts that Bill Snyder ran with Colin Klein and some of his running quarterbacks, where they use that one guy in the backfield as a runner and they try to get an extra blocker in there and out gap him. But once Kansas built that 21-0 lead, they really made Central Michigan uncomfortable and made them do what they don't want to do, and that's turn them into a passing ball club. I thought the defense played really well, and you know, obviously Puka Williams, you know, his debut kind of turned that thing around. Those two touchdown runs was the swing factor in the game. So, you know, the offensive line, they're going to have to play better. There's still some hiccups in there, which we'll be able to talk about a little bit here later. I know you've got some audio from David Beatty, but that's the thoughts on the win. It was a big win, but you got to move on.
Absolutely. You know, people, I've had so many people that have texted me and were texting me feverishly during the game about Puka Williams. I'm going to go back a little ways and maybe date myself a little bit here. The last time I saw a Kansas player explode on the scene like this and maybe have the kind of just the instant seemingly it factor where everybody had, you know, his name was on everybody's lips. It reminded me so much of when we first saw John Randall when he was playing for Mark Mangino. Just the way that it just seemed like, for the first time maybe in a while, they had somebody that could literally go the distance every time he touched the football, and was somebody that you held your breath when he got it.
Yeah, John
as
Randall.
As big as that.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, hey, Randall was exciting, you know, and obviously showing my age, you know, I was in school when Tony Sands was there. And you know, Tony Sands was somebody else who could probably, you know, go the distance or put a team on his back. You know, he'd carry the ball 30, 40, 50 times a game if he had to. But, yeah, John Randall and Sands were the guys. I was asked on KLWN with Nick the other day, and those are the two names I came in. So, hey, John Randall, that's a pretty good call.
Absolutely. It was funny because I had one of my friends texted me and he said, well, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Dexter McCluster that played obviously at Ole Miss and then with the Chiefs for several years. And I, looking at him, just the style of running. And I know I said this on the board last year when we first started looking at his high school tape, the way he cuts and changes direction, he reminds me so much of the way that if you look at Dante Hall's tape, everybody thinks about the return against Denver where he juked everybody on the field at least three times inside the 5-yard line before breaking that return loose. But his running style is not nearly as – Dante wasn't always that sharp jitterbug guy that made a million cuts. His running style, to me, Puka reminds me a lot of the way Dante ran, and physically, he looks like John Randall. And that was a guy that when I was looking at him, I said, man, that seeing that number one jersey running like that brought back a lot of old memories. So as big as that win was, though, Kirby, the Hawks are going to have to be ready for a Rutgers team who they need a win this week, just as bad as David Beatty's program does. Earlier in the week, Coach said he knew Rutgers head coach Chris Ash very well. Here's Chris Ash talking about his relationship with David Beatty, as well as sharing his thoughts on the Kansas program.
Yeah, he knows you pretty well. How well do you guys know each other?
I've known Dave for a long time. Good, very good friend of mine, good coach. We got a bunch of mutual friends, and we've known each other for a long time.
And then based on film, what have you seen from this Kansas team so far?
You know, they're a scrappy team, and they're getting better. You know, Dave's done a great job. He took over a really, really tough situation, you know, with scholarship limitations and holes on the roster, and he's done a great job of trying to build that thing up. And it's a typical, you know, really Big 12 team where they have some good skill players around the outside. And I think you've seen that, you know, from last week in their Central Michigan win. But they've got, you know, offensively some skill players. It's a space game. That's what the Big 12 is. Same thing on defense. They've got some good skill players, good linebackers, good secondary. You know, they're by far and away better right now today than what they were, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago.
So now we've got some audio from David Beatty talking about his challenge this week to prepare for the Scarlet Knights. Kirby, I'm going to play this, and I want to get your take on just what you're hearing from the head coach this week.
We obviously learned a lot from this last game. It was a fun game, fun ride home, very enthusiastic. There wasn't just a whole lot of sleep, and even though they were tired, that was a fun ride home. That's how we've always wanted it to be, and our challenge now is to make sure that we learn from it so we continue to have those types of feelings. One of the things that as a coach you always worry about is that some things that you needed to learn from kind of get covered up in times when you win. And we as a coaching staff are putting a lot of time and effort into making sure that the things that could have gotten us beat or could have kept us from winning that game, or the things that kept us from maybe even winning it more decisive, that those things don't just go to the wayside, that we address those things, because those are going to be the things that are going to help us moving forward. So we learned a lot from this video, and what we learned is we have a long way to go.
That was David Beatty talking about keeping his team grounded. John, what's your take when you were at David Beatty's press conference this week and heard what he had to say about his program coming off the win against Central Michigan?
Well, I think his press conference, Randy, was like 18 minutes long, and that clip there might be one of the biggest keys of his press conference, and that is you've got to find a way now for a program that hasn't had a lot of wins, for a lot of these kids haven't had success of winning, and walk up on campus and be patted on the back, hey, big win, you know, people tweeting at them, what a big win. And, you know, it's coaches really preach this to players in all sports, baseball, basketball, football, whatever it is. You know, when you make a good play, you got to forget about it. It's in the past. When you make a bad play, put it away, go to the next. Well, Kansas had that little 24-hour window where they probably got to celebrate and come back home and have a good time. But then you got to get back to business. And I think that's the biggest challenge of the coaching staff this week, is keeping these kids focused. And as much as fun as that Central Michigan game was, remember the work and the hard effort that it took all those times in the summer and the Saturday workouts that the players organized. that was the fruits of the labor right there, all coming together in that win. But now it's over. And come Monday, when those kids report to start watching film and getting ready to practice, you've got to move on. And you've got to get ready for Rutgers. And that's going to be the biggest challenge I really feel for the Kansas coaching staff, is to get these kids focused, forget about that game, and get ready to play 11 a.m. on Saturday morning against Rutgers. And they're going to have to show up ready to play, because Rutgers is going to be ready coming off that butt-whooping they took to Ohio State. So I think that's the biggest challenge.
I'm going to turn this over to Kirby, as he's in the interview studio and has our guest Rich Schneiderite to talk about the Rutgers game.
Thanks, Randy. I'm going to welcome in Rich Schneiderite with the Night Report on the Rivals.com network. Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing good today. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, let's just start right up on the offense with Rutgers. What have you seen from them, and what can Kansas fans expect?
I kind of said this last week on the Ohio State podcast, but it's an interesting offense. It's kind of a combination of a West Coast and a multiple type offense. Rutgers has not had good luck with offensive coordinators in the past. I believe it's now 10 offensive coordinators in the past 11 years.
Wow.
And the last guy that was here for 2 years in a row was John McNulty, who ended up leaving, going to the NFL. And so be it. John McNulty's back again this year. But the Rutgers offense is led by true freshman quarterback Art Sikowski. He's one of three true freshmen starting in the Big Ten this year. He's a really nice kid. He throws a nice deep ball. If you can keep him on his feet, he could make all the plays in the world. It's just a matter of keeping him on his feet at the end of the day. And as far as the skill position players, Rutgers has running back Raheem Blackshear, who's probably going to be the one to watch in this game. So far, I believe he's the leader in rushing yards and receiving yards so far in the year. He's a pretty dynamic player. He's not the biggest. He's not the tallest. I think he's about 5'9", 200 pounds, give or take a couple. Really shifty kid. Not every down back, of course, because of his size, but he knows what to do when he gets the ball in his hands, and if he gets the ball in space, he's pretty much as good as gone.
You know, you and I communicated when we were doing our Q&As, and you talked about Chris Ash and the defense there. They've seemed to improve every year. You know, talk a little bit about the Rutgers defense and what can we expect from them.
Rutgers defense is actually, like I said to you the other day, they improve every single year. This year, they're a little more senior-laden, if you want to say that. The defense is led by Captain Deontay Roberts at a linebacker, at the middle linebacker spot. He's just a solid overall player. He does everything he's asked to by the coaches. He makes the tackles when need be. He's the leader of the defense, pretty much, as expected. It's for a middle linebacker. After that, the defensive backs. Before the season, I'd probably say the defensive backs was the deepest position. After losing Boisson Austin and a couple other guys that are dinged up right now, and Trey Avery and Kai Hester, they've lost a little bit of being known as the strongest position group on the defense, but they've thrown in some guys into the fire, like Avery Young, who's another true freshman, who's he's held his own as much as he could. Obviously, against Ohio State last weekend, it's one of the toughest tests in the country. But he, like I said, he held his own. He's a solid cornerback, and he should be a good one for a couple of years to come now. But the biggest issue with this defense would be defensive line. They have a couple good guys that are starters in Elorm Loomer and Kevin Wilkins, who Kevin Wilkins actually is the only senior on the defensive line right now. I take it back. One of two seniors on the defensive line with John Badeke. But he's the only one that's played multiple starts in the past couple seasons, and they lack a lot of depth. They lost a couple guys preseason due to a couple off-the-field issues and all that.
Rich, I know you've studied Kansas and you've looked up on this game. Are there any matchups that you think could be key going into this one?
The one key matchup I was looking at, are you talking from Kansas' perspective or from like a Rutgers perspective?
For both of them. You know, how if there's something like you like Kansas linebackers against Rutgers running backs, or a position matchup that you think could be a key one?
I know the one kid I really like from you guys is Puka Williams. I know you guys are super high on him. I know our analysts are super high on him. He's a high-rated four-star recruit out of, I believe it was Louisiana. and he's one that the team's definitely going to have to watch. The linebackers are definitely going to have to do something about him. As far as Rutgers going against Kansas, I'd probably have to go back to Raheem Blackshear and going against just the Kansas defense as a whole, whether it's running the ball or going out in the slot or anything like that. I know right now I believe he leads the team in touchdowns on the year with 2, but I'd have to double check on that. But he's the one that should probably create the biggest mismatch for you guys.
All right, we're going to close it out here. How do you see this game playing out, and what's your prediction?
Yes, that was the toughest one. I know Vegas opened up the spread as Kansas as favorites. I know Kansas needs a win. Rutgers needs a win. Both programs need a win as much as either of them could. But I'm going to go with Rutgers' defense is going to help them win this one. I'm thinking 28-20 in the end. It's going to be close throughout the whole game. And not a game-winning drive, but I'd like to think that Sikowski could be able to lead the team down the field if it came to that.
Hey, good stuff. Rich, I really appreciate you joining us, and we'll definitely talk to you again in the future.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
He's expecting a close one, and it would be nice for the Jayhawks to put on a good showing against a visiting Big Ten team for some of the recruits that are expected in. John, who is on your radar that you've heard from so far that we may see in Memorial Stadium on Saturday?
Well, the list has started to grow, and even as of here the day before the game, I just got some big news. Turner Corcoran from Free State has confirmed to me.
Oh,
yeah, he's the big fish. Hey, I don't want to take away from the committed guys like Clay Cundiff, but you know that's a big one right there. And he does plan to be at the Rutgers game. So there's a nice one, a local kid and a national type recruit, Clay Cundiff, KU's committed tight end from Bishop Carroll will be there. And his good buddy, Jaden Russell from Aquinas, has told me he'll be there. A couple guys from Bishop Mies, Jalen Williams and Dylan Downing, will be there. And then an interesting one, a 2020 recruit, Nate Matlack, a defensive end out of Olathe. He's kind of a tall, rangy kid. He's going to get bigger and stronger. He's got some good speed. He'll be there, and that's the list for now.
You know, I'll tell you, you mentioned some names there. One of the names on that list, the defensive end, Williams from Bishop Mies, that is a name a lot of people aren't familiar with. He is a multi-year starter that has been absolutely dominant on that defensive line for head coach John Holmes' squad. That is a guy right there that he is under the radar, but he has played a lot of football, and his upside is high. He is a very interesting player, and I know you mentioned Jaden Russell and Clay Cundiff, two kids that I obviously know very well from Epic 7. Jaden, it's funny, for the longest time, a lot of people thought Jaden was a lock to Kansas State. And I think it's noteworthy that he's had all this time that when people thought, oh, he's any day now, he's going to commit. I kept hearing it from people. Or people were asking me, when's Jaden Russell just going to bring it into it and go to K-State? I think, kind of as you've alluded to, KU was the first school to offer him it was the camp after his freshman year. It was a team camp in Lawrence that the Saints were down for with Randy Dreiling. They offered him there, and they were the first offer. And I think the bond specifically with Clay Cundiff, it's going to be interesting to watch how this develops, because I think KU, I think their chances of landing him are actually, I think they're growing. I really do.
Yeah, I think they are too. I've said all along that I've always felt Russell likes Kansas. I've always felt they were in the mix. You know, he hasn't tipped his hand very much on which way he's leaning or if he's got a top one or a top two or a top three. But I really think they're in the mix, and I think at some point he'll look at setting up an official visit here. And you know, one thing to note, Randy, as we're talking about recruiting, a lot of people ask me, hey, why isn't the list very big, or why aren't there more recruits? You got to remember on the in-season games, almost 90-95% of your recruits who come to those games are from the local front. So when you look at Kansas State, or you even look at Missouri, Kansas, most of those guys that get their unofficial visitors are local recruits. And you know, right now, especially when you look at the 2019 board, there just aren't a lot of uncommitted, highly rated recruits out there that are still,
exactly,
you know, still existing. So that's, you know, that makes it tough when you always look at the visitor list and say, why was there only three kids or four kids or five kids? Well, remember, K-State's also got a home game, and Missouri's, I think they play on the road this week, but there's a lot of times those schools might all be playing at home, and they got to share those kids when they're on their visit. So, you know, just right now with the dynamics that play out, you're never going to have much more than a 6, 7, 8 kids in there for the visit.
Saturday is a big swing game for both of these programs, both the Scarlet Knights and the Kansas Jayhawks, as they gear up to head into conference play. Kirby, how do you see this matchup, and what's your prediction for Saturday?
Well, this is a hard game to diagnose. It really is. I watched the first half of Rutgers, Ohio State the other day, and you know, Rutgers, I thought, had some nice things planned. They had some run plays that looked really good. They were well-designed. They were well-blocked. Rutgers has a couple of offensive tackles that are NFL-type guys. You know, the interior probably isn't as strong as their tackles. They've got a really good running back. The quarterback can throw the football. You know, there was a series of plays where the running back takes the ball. Rutgers has got the play really well-blocked, and you're thinking the way it's developing, it's going to be a 5-7-yard gain. Well, that All-American DN from Ohio State, he comes off the edge, beats the tackle, dives at the guy's feet, knocks him down for no gain. The next play, you know, they've got another play designed up the middle, and it looks like this guy's going to break through and probably, you know, he's headed for another 5 or 7 yard pickup. And some free safety who runs a 4.35 comes out of nowhere for Ohio State, hits the guy, knocks him down for a 1 yard gain. So, you know, when you're watching Rutgers, you're sitting here and you're going, boy, they just look bad. Okay. They've given up 570 yards. And I just watched the first half. That's really all I needed to see. But boy, Ohio State is friggin' talented. I mean, they're loaded. I don't know how many NFL guys they have on that defense, but they made Rutgers plays, which looked really well designed. They made them look bad. So it was hard to take from Rutgers what to expect. And at the same time, if you watch Rutgers' first game against Texas State, I think they won 35-7. It's hard to take from that, too, because Kansas is better than Texas State. So, you know, it's going to be a physical game. The Kansas defensive line, they're going to have to play every bit as well as they did last week. They're going to have to play better this week because this is, bar none, the best offensive line they will have seen to this point. And Rutgers, they try to play big boy football. I mean, they do a lot of that Big Ten stuff. They'll bring in double tights a lot. They'll try to pound you. They're a big physical offensive line. And Kansas is going to have to keep those defensive linemen rotating in like they did against Central Michigan. And the Kansas linebackers are going to have to stay in their gaps and play sound football because that's going to be Rutgers' game. I mean, that quarterback they had last week against Ohio State, he about got broke in half on one play, and he never returned for the rest of the game. They say he's healthy 100%. He's going to start against Kansas, but I really think Rutgers' game plan is going to go in and try to pound the football against Kansas. And the other big thing that's going to have to happen, Randy, is the offense is going to have to improve. Puka Williams made that offense look a little better than it's been playing. They didn't look very good in week one, and I thought they were just so-so in week two. And Central Michigan's defense doesn't have the guys that Rutgers have. But, you know, Kansas is playing with some confidence after that win. Rutgers is going to be on the road for the second straight week. I think we got a good football game lined up. But I tell you, I've got to shoot it straight and go with what my head's saying, and I keep going back to Rutgers 24, Kansas 21.
You heard it. John Kirby says the winning streak comes to an end, or it stops at one, which would not be a winning streak as we learned in Major League. I think you're right. I think it's going to be close, and if it is a close game, a Big Ten team like Rutgers that has better players up front and has been in these kind of situations where, you know, maybe it gets better competition where they've had to win a game. I think it's going to be a difficult task for the Jayhawks. If we're wrong, the momentum that could come out of this, I think it makes things shape up as really, really interesting as you start the conference season, but we will see. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com as we gear up for the Rutgers game. I promise one of these days we will get Shea Wildebor in here and talk a little bit of basketball recruiting. Until then, this is Randy Withers for John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to check out the site. Be looking for updates and information on our next episode.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.